Today I'm joined by Dr. Yuki Tanaka of the Hiroshima Peace Institute. Dr. Tanaka, thank you very much for joining me today.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to start, I guess, by giving you a chance to talk a little bit about the Hiroshima Peace Institute. Could you tell my listeners, what is the Hiroshima Peace Institute? When was it founded and how did you become involved with it?
This institute was established, I think, 7 or 8 years ago by former mayor of Hiroshima. It's actually the think tank of city council on peace and war issues. So we are running seminars on peace issues. We also run public lectures for citizens of Hiroshima. And we also have organized international symposium around August 6 every year. So mainly we are conducting public lectures, also research. We have several research projects on peace and war issue. For example, I've been doing research on team research on leading team research on the history of indiscriminate bombing, including of course bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Some other people are involved in the nuclear issues in Northeast Asia, including of course Korean issue. We have team research project.
And I understand you're affiliated with the Hiroshima City University.
Yes, it's officially it's a part of Hiroshima City University, but we're not heavily involved in the university administration or teaching. We do a little bit teaching over there, but mainly our work is conducting research and seminars and public lectures.
Mm-hmm. How many researchers do you have at the Institute?
We have a dozen researchers. We've got two Koreans, we have one American, one Singaporean researcher. So I'll say half of our researchers are non-Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'd like to start talking about the Hiroshima Citizens Peace Declaration, which I believe you drafted. And I'd like to start with the history of this peace declaration. When did the Peace Institute start producing this, and what is its purpose?
This has nothing to do with the Peace Institute. This is actually, we have a peace gathering, peace conference every year, the day before August 6th, and August 5th, 5th. This is a sort of conference organized by the various peace organizations and activists from all over Japan. So because they come here for August 6th ceremony, so we get together and talk about the important issues, mainly, you know, the things happened in the last one year or so. So we talk about American bases here in Japan, Yuakuni, Okinawa. We talk about Japan's constitutional issue. We talk about U.S. nuclear policy, etc., etc. And at the end of this conference, it is a tradition that we read out Citizens' Peace Declaration, we're not competing against the Mayor's Peace Declaration, which is far more important, well known. But Mayor's Declaration is mainly concentrating on the nuclear issue. So we thought we should cover other important issues in relation to peace and war, especially Japanese political issues. So we started sort of issuing this annual message. So we're doing it. We've been doing it last, 10 years or so.
So this is kind of a supplement to the mayor's address.
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Well, let's get into some of the issues raised in the peace declaration. For example, your declaration makes reference to the Japanese Air Self-Defense Force and its assistance to U.S. occupation forces in Iraq. Could you tell my listeners a little bit about the Japanese Self-Defense Force, its history, and why this assistance might be a worrying trend of remilitarization in Japan?
Well, strictly speaking, I mean, the SDF was set up to defend Japan, not, you know, the sending forces to overseas. The sending SDF to overseas, especially battle zone, is not defense activities. So it's actually violating our constitution, Article 9. And also the SDF laws, but of course the government changed the laws so that they can send now the SDF to overseas, even the battlefield. But we think it's a violation of the constitution. Therefore, we should stop this activities. Also, we believe that the U.S. war against Iraq is a preemptive war, which is again the violating international law, and an occupation of a military occupation of Iraq as a result of this preemptive war is again a violation of international law. So it's an illegal conduct. So that means the SDF is also participating in this illegal conduct. So they're not just violating Japanese constitution, but also international law, and also the against the regulation of the United Nations Charter. We are doing a campaign against the activities of SDF in Iraq.
So can you speak to the broader trend of remilitarization of Japan?
Well, the Japanese government is changing their laws in relation to SDF activities more and more, and so that they can participate in the international activities of the military forces, especially following the U.S. forces. For example, they adopting a missile defense system. They are now actually conducting a bombing practice using Guam U.S. Bases. The activities are clearly against the Article 9, and it's also dangerous because by doing this kind of adopting this kind of policies, we actually stimulating the for example North Koreans the antagonism towards Japan. Because, for example, why do we need the practice of the aerial bombing? If you just want to defend our nation, we don't need to send a jet fighters overseas and bomb enemy territories. This is again clearly against the our constitution. But the problem is, Japanese media is hopelessly quiet about the this kind of practice. I found this news on the New York Times website, And so I circulated this information to all my colleagues in peace groups, and nobody knew. Actually, SDF is now practicing area bombing. And so it's, you know, the Japanese government quietly, you know, sort of introducing this kind of policies, and, you know, so that the they're making Japan a nation capable of conducting war.
Do you think the Abe administration's recent setbacks at the election will in any way affect that remilitarization process?
Well, I hope so, because obviously he can't push this changing of constitution so vigorously. But the it doesn't mean that the conservative circles stop promoting the ideas of changing constitutions, especially Article 9, because even the opposition party, they are to some extent in agree with the LDP to change the Article 9. So we have to keep working to campaign against the changing of constitution.
In your peace declaration, you mentioned that the SDF is secretly and illegally gathering information on the activities of peace groups and activists who have been working in the campaign against the Iraq War. Can you speak to the details of that? What is that? What is the source for that information?
Well, we didn't know, of course, until the parliamentarian of the Communist Party actually found this information. I don't know where they found it, but they found the list of the SDF in Kure, not very far from here, made. And these are the peace groups which were heavily involved in the anti-Iraq war campaigns. And so I presume that they admitted that the SDF admitted that they've been doing this secret information gatherings, taking photos of demonstrations, peace demonstrations here in Hiroshima, a few other places. So it's now revealed and everybody knows. We were shocked to learn that the SDF was actually doing this kind of disgraceful information gathering.
Well, obviously, your organization is committed to nuclear disarmament as one of its key goals. But I think that the general public maybe doesn't understand the evolving nature of nuclear disarmament issues. Mm. And your peace declaration mentions, for example, BU weapons. Could you tell us about depleted uranium weapons? Where are they being used, and what are their effects?
Right. DU is very dangerous weapons because it's radioactive materials. It's used small bullet to a big missile because it's hard materials. It's extremely hard, so it's penetrate into thick concrete or thick iron, steel, you know, materials. For example, tanks. Tanks can be destroyed larger bullets, and then after the radioactive materials are dispersed. So it's widely used in the Iraq War and Afghanistan, Kosovo, and we don't know what kind of effects these the weapons are creating, but there's a report, there are lots of reports actually about the strange disease occurring in Iraq and other places where the DU weapons were used. For example, the cancer rate amongst the children in Basra area in Iraq are extremely high. And also the children who were born to soldiers, Iraq soldiers, who were exposed to radioactive materials, DU weapons, are, you know, the deformed children. So we have lots of reports about the this kind of strange disease, including leukemia and different types of cancer, etc. So we presume that there's a strong link between the use of the DU weapons and this kind of disease. And so we've been doing a campaign against the use of DU weapons. So, of course, it's a kind of radioactive material. So it's related to nuclear weapons. So what we are saying is the difference between the nuclear weapons and non-nuclear weapons are disappearing because of the DU weapons.
Okay. Certainly, it is a growing concern, and there are numerous other growing concerns. What do you think are the key issues for nuclear disarmament at this point in history?
It's not the nuclear disarmament. You know, we are concerned about the war in general, because especially the Japanese governments are trying to, you know, sort of, as I said, the SDF is now capable to conduct war. I mean, the SDF's budget is the third largest in the world, the third or fourth largest in the world. So it's a kind of joke that it's still called the SDF. Of course, the bureaucrats of the SDF and the government, bureaucrats of politicians, wants to probably change your name from SDF to Military Forces. And also, if you look at the government policies, for example, the education policies, for example, the moral education they are introducing in order to enhance the Japanese nationalist sentiment amongst the Japanese children, compulsory law was introduced several years ago to make sure that the Japanese public schools raise the Japanese flags and sing a national anthem. So this kind of nationalistic policies have been implemented. The museums were built, new museum, for example, Battleship Yamato, the Marine SDF Museum, Submarine Museum was built. So, encouraging people to admire the Japanese technology or the military technology and what they've been the SDF been doing, so-called for the defense purposes. So you can see the whole sort of Japanese government policies is now sort of pushing Japan towards the militarization. Also, you know that quite recently the Minister of Defense, Kuma, who resigned last month, but he said that the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki wasn't necessary to end the war. And textbook issues also. They tried to sanitize Japanese war crimes that the committed against the Chinese and other the Asian neighbors in the Asia Pacific War. So that means, you see, they are trying to obscure the responsibility of war, not just the Japanese responsibility, but the responsibility of the United States. Why do they do? It means, you see, it is clear that the they want to make Japan capable to do a war. Because if you say, you know, well, we have to admit this kind of responsibility, that means is that if we are involved in war, we create this kind of problem, and therefore eventually we have to take responsibility, then we cannot conduct war. So it's obvious, you know, why they are denying this responsibility is because they wanted to militarize Japan.
And I think one of the key issues in that denial of war responsibility, of course, one that's received a lot of attention lately, has been the comfort women issue, which I understand you've written a book about. Could you tell us about your book?
My book is in English called Japan's Comfort Women, but it's half of my book is actually the Japanese comfort women system, you know, the in the Asia-Pacific War, how the Japanese military forces exploited sexuality of the Asian women, especially Koreans and Chinese, and of course this was a crime against humanity. My book actually critically examined this whole system of the so-called enforced prostitution of the Japanese military forces. But half of the other half of my book is actually the it's about the Japanese prostitution under the occupation forces after the war, right after the war, how the American actually used the similar sort of system of comfort women system under the occupation. So the large number of Japanese women were exploited. So there are similar problems. Although I'm not denying, you know, the fact that the Japanese exploited the large number of Asian women, I'm not trying to sanitize by bringing the, you know, this historical fact that the Americans also exploited the Japanese women. What I'm trying to say is why this kind of problem happens. Not only just during the war, but also after the war, you know, when the military occupation happens, why the military prostitution continues, you know. So my main interest was why the military violence against women happens every time war occurs. So I'm not just, you know, dealing with the Japanese comfort women system. But nonetheless, anyway, because of the American politicians, especially the Michael Honda, who was the congressman of the United States, raised this issue, the responsibility of the Japanese responsibility for the former comfort women. Congress, U.S. Congress actually issued a report on this issue, and they wrote a report using my book as a source, which is fine, but they didn't mention about the problems of the occupation time at all. They only mentioned about the Japanese comfort women system during the war.
To be expected, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Dr. Tanaka, where can people go to find out more information about peace issues in Japan?
In English?
In English.
We actually run, my colleagues and I run a website called Japan Focus. It covers quite a lot of issues, especially Japanese issues and other Asian issues, Korean, Chinese issues. But if you go to the this website, you can find the section called Peace and War. You can find the section of nuclear issues, and so there are quite interesting articles, a number of articles, interesting articles on this website. So Japan Focus, you just search using a Google, you can easily find this website address.
All right, Dr. Yuki Tanaka, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you.